But that made me feel better. I'm like, well, you guys actually made some noise, but I still think we can make it louder. So how are you guys doing today? I mean, come on. There was a baptism. You guys should be screaming. Oh, man. Awesome. Man, I am so excited to be here with you guys today. As John said, my name is Bryce. I'm the student director here at 514 Church. Jesus is the center of my life, but second is probably that group of students right there. I love them, some of them. Some of them smell. It's fine. You guys know which ones you are. It's okay. My guys for the most part. Man, I'm so excited to be up here today. You see, I've actually been praying for you guys for the last week. I have. I've been praying for you guys and for this message. I've been praying boldly and expectantly because I believe that lives will be changed today. Not because of me, not because of my ability or, quite frankly, my inability to deliver a message, but because of one reason and one reason only, and that reason is Jesus. I believe that Jesus has the power to change lives and nothing else does. And so today, I believe that Jesus is going to change the lives of some people in this room. I believe that with my entire being, with my heart. You see, this message today is called Let There Be Light. Say, let there be light. Let there be light. So this message was actually birthed a couple months ago for our high school retreat. We took 80 plus students to our retreat. And they got to hear all about God's plan for their life and about a God who desperately and is madly in love with them. And so I'm so excited for this message. They responded super well, which helps my ego. But I'm really excited because I believe that lives will be changed today. The truth is we are living in darkness. There's a darkness that surrounds our lives that this world is not the way that God originally intended it to be. And so as a result, we're kind of stumbling our way through this darkness, missing out on this beautiful, colorful life that God has for us. But I believe that today God wants to meet us in the middle of that darkness and lead us into something bigger, something better, something way more beautiful than we ever could have imagined. A relationship with Him and life that starts with light. And so I'm gonna pray for us before we get started. You see, I believe that the Spirit of God is with us today and that God is gonna do something amazing. And so I want to acknowledge Him and invite Him in to do what only He can do today. So pray with me, God. Thank you so much for who you are and for what you've done for us. God, thank you for every person that you have brought here today. And thank you for this beautiful truth that we have, that you love us so much, that you are willing to meet us in the darkest places we ever could be, and to lead us out into life through light. God, please choose to use me today. And I pray that you would soften our hearts and soften our minds to this word that we are about to receive. God, we love you. We pray this all in your Son's name. And everybody said, it's really hard to do that all in like two breaths. Amen. So, before we get started, I need a question. I've got a question for you. I need some answers. Crowd participation. Raise your hand if you, as a kid, were scared of the dark. Okay? Like a third of you and everybody else is lying. Half the students like don't have their hands up. I'm like, I know you're afraid of the dark. I get to do life with you. I know this. And that's okay. It's okay if you didn't want to put your hand up. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. This is not true for me. This is true for me. I, ever since I was a kid, have been terrified of the dark. And you might be thinking, well, like, it's perfectly rational. It makes sense for, like, a kid to be scared of the dark. You'd think. Until that kid turns out to be an adult. So I grew up being absolutely terrified of the dark. I'm going to give you a couple pictures into my life because some of my most vivid memories or of me being absolutely terrified of the dark. You'd think they'd be like, oh, maybe you're like 10th birthday or when this amazing thing. No. It's my vivid memories are from being terrified of the dark. And so, one, God bless his heart, my dad. My dad is a trooper. He loves me in spite of what I'm about to share with you. You see, growing up, I could only go to sleep if my dad was present in the room. Think about that. So I actually was so afraid of the dark, I would sleep with the covers over my head. And I like made barriers with stuffed animals and put a barrier. And the lights would have to be on and my dad would have to be in my room, either right next to me or right by the door. And he'd just stand there like this. You sleep, right? I'm awake, okay. And so that was like our reality for a while, right? But it actually gets worse because before I could get into bed, he would have to help me make sure that the closet door was closed and my room door, I guess that's it, was wide open. Now, that might sound weird to you, but it makes sense, okay? If the closet door is even cracked, You know, a demon is going to come out in the middle of the night and drag me down to some gate of hell that is only existent in my closet at nighttime. And if my door to my room is closed, then some murderer or kidnapper is going to come to my second story room through the window and pull me out. And if it's closed, my parents aren't going to be able to hear me screaming for my life. I thought this through. I was a smart kid. And so the closet door, closed. The door to my room, open. With my dad guarding it, it makes sense. The worst part about this is that once I would fall asleep, my dad would leave. And I am notorious for waking up numerous times throughout the night, even to this day. And so I would wake up, and I realize that it's dark. That in and of itself puts me in a state of panic. And then I can kind of look up, and I peek out, and I see my dad's not there. Even deeper into panic. And so I started to do this thing that some of your parents are probably like, my kid does this, I've experienced this. And so I would put the covers back over my head. I'd start crying. And I'd be like, Dad! And I would start screaming at the top of my lungs as if somebody was actually taking me until my dad runs in and tells me to shut up or go back to sleep. Like, that was just how I operated. And in case you're curious, I'm doing better now. Yelling for your dad at 25 is weird, especially when he lives 400 miles away. I text him now. It's fine. I've moved past this. But I am actually doing a little bit better now, just a little bit. You see, I actually live with Eddie. So Eddie is usually up here playing keys. And he's a great roommate, except he found out I was speaking today, and so he decided to take a vacation. Thanks, Eddie. If you're watching this, Eddie, online, I appreciate you, kind of. No, but just wait. It gets worse. So I have a roommate now, right? And I'm still an adult and afraid of the dark, and that's okay. And so that means I'm home alone. And that's fine. I enjoy being by myself sometimes. That's great. Get to recharge until nighttime. And when you don't live with somebody else and you're afraid of the dark, what do? You sleep with at least 3 lights on. Because that's what makes sense. No, this makes sense. Don't judge me, okay? I'm dramatic, but this is real. Okay, so you leave 1 light on in your room. Naturally, the demons can't get you if the light's on. And then you have 1 light on that like goes down the stairs, because you don't want to trip down the stairs. And then you have 1 light on right by the front door. So then that way, if something happens in my room, if somebody comes to get me, I can make a straight line down out the hallway, out of my room, down the stairs, and right outside without ever being confronted with darkness. It makes sense. I've thought this through. I'm a very strategic mind. You're welcome. And so Eddie, if you're watching this also, can you get home soon? Our electric bill can't take another day. It's really bad, okay? I promise. But even if you aren't like as afraid of the dark as I may or may not still be, jury's still out, you have to admit that there's something unsettling about the darkness. There's something uncomfortable about being in the darkness, of not having light, of not being able to see what's in front of you. There's a psychologist named Alicia H. Clark, and she actually puts it this way. Darkness impairs our vision quite literally. Pretty sure that's obvious. And this is inherently uncomfortable. You're right. Why? You see, we aren't afraid so much of the dark as we're afraid of what is in the dark we can't see. It's not just the idea of darkness, not just the idea of there not being any lights on. No. What gets us is that we can't see in the dark. We don't know what's really out there. We don't have perception of what's going on around us. Sometimes we can't even see the hand in front of our face. I mean, this makes sense. This is why I sleep with my closet door closed. Because if it's open, I can kind of try to make out some figures in there, and it's probably a sweater, but really it looks like a demon that's reaching out for me. Or you look at the pile of clothes that are like in the corner of your room. I'm a nester. It's just what I do. I have a lot of clothes everywhere, and they're in the corner of the room, and you wake up, and you like shoot up, and you're like, what's happening? And then it looks like somebody's just crouching in the corner. Like, that's scary. You can't really see what's happening in the darkness. You don't know what's out there. You don't have the perception to be able to really have a good picture of what the darkness brings. And so today, I'm going to talk about this idea of darkness. Say darkness. You see, the darkness isn't just a physical reality that we experience. It's actually a very real spiritual reality that we live in and day out. If you've ever been around the church before, you've heard of this idea called sin. And sin is both the act of disobeying God and doing life our own way, but it's also this reality that we are born into. Because of sin, the world broke, the human condition broke, and so as a result, this life is shy of God's original plan for creation. We're not really living out this full thing that God originally intended for us. And it's all due to the brokenness, the sin problem that we have in our world and in our lives. And you don't really need me to convince you that there's darkness in the world. You see, there's a level of darkness that we can vividly see. I mean, if you were to pull up your phone right now, go to social media, text a friend, or check any news outlet, you would see that there is a darkness that you can vividly see. It is present and it is everywhere all over this world. There are people that die all the time from natural disasters. There are diseases like cancer that steal the lives from our friends and our family every day. There are things like homelessness and poverty and racism and destruction and corruption and broken relationships and divorce. And ultimately, there's this thing called death. You don't need me to convince you that this is a very real thing. But we're not going to talk about this today. We're not going to talk about the darkness we see, because I don't think you need me to convince you that this is a real thing. Instead, we're going to talk about a different kind of darkness. You see, when sin entered the world, it didn't just break the world. It broke our human condition, our human experience, and we don't live life the way we were intended to. There's a level of darkness we see, sure, but there's also a level of darkness that we feel. A level of darkness that we feel emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that surrounds us. You see, I have the amazing blessing to work with students, and I love what I do. Get this, my job, my career, the thing that I get to do with my entire life is to hang out with students. Check, that's amazing. And the other thing is to help lead them closer to the person of Jesus. That's my job, and I love it. It is one of the most beautiful and rewarding things that you could ever do, in my opinion. However, it is also one of the hardest things to do, and one of the most gut-wrenching things. If you were to sit down with almost any one of these students for 10 minutes and hear about their story and what is happening in their lives, I'm getting emotional from this already. Jeez, I'm an emotional person. You would know that the things that they are battling, the things that they are struggling with are very real. And there's a level of darkness that they are feeling, that they are experiencing. And that's why we kind of birthed this idea for a retreat, the Let There Be Light. We believe that there's this darkness that we not only see, but that we feel. And so I had the opportunity to get to write these messages for our students and to feed truth into the lies that they believe, to feed truth into the darkness that they experience. And what's really interesting is if you were to hear what they think darkness is, the darkness that is present in their lives, if you were to hear those in this room today, you'd probably be like, that's the same for me. That's not just for a young adult. That's not just for a teenager. That's actually just as present in my life as it is in theirs, if not more. And so I was able to kind of condense this idea of darkness that we feel into two ideas, two thoughts that we have, two ways that we experience this darkness. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of other thoughts and lies that we believe, a lot of other darkness that we experience, but I'm just not gonna hit on those today. So I don't wanna discount your darkness or what it is that you're going through. But here are two of the prevalent darknesses that our students feel or experience. The first one is we feel like we don't have purpose. We feel like we don't have purpose. Studies show that one of the biggest sources of pain and anxiety in the lives of high schoolers and young adults, all the way through age 30, one of the biggest sources is that we feel like we don't have purpose. We feel like our lives don't matter. We start to have thoughts like, what am I doing with my life? Is what I'm doing, does this have any weight? Does this have any significance? Am I significant? Am I even good enough? Is this as good as it gets? Because I don't feel like I have any value based on what it is I'm doing. What am I supposed to do with my life? And it makes sense. From a young age, we are groomed to go to school, to learn, to figure out what degree we want to get, to pick that college, to get the degree that we'll get a job in, and then that's your life. You'll get married, have kids, and then that is the extent of your existence. That's the thoughts that we start to buy into, the lies that we believe. And so we start to think, we don't really have significance to what we're doing. We don't have value in what it is we're doing. We don't have purpose. I mean, get it. It's like you're going through a dark room. Have you ever tried to walk through a dark room? Of course you have. It's a trick question. You walk through a dark room, and you start to stumble over things, and you trip. You don't really know where you're going or what's going on around you, and so ultimately, you don't really get there, and you're like, man, maybe I'll just give up. I don't have purpose. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have direction, and this is a very real darkness that we experience, no matter what your age or stage of life is. We feel like we don't have purpose. And the second darkness we feel is we feel empty. I believe that there are people who came in here today who feel empty, who feel like there is this emptiness, this hole inside of their heart that is weighing heavily on their lives. And most of us in this room would agree that we have felt empty either right now or at some point in our lives. And what happens when we feel empty is we start to look for anything and everything to fill with, into that void, into that emptiness, hoping that it will fulfill or it will satisfy us. I mean, there's a massive list of different things that we try to help us feel fulfilled. For me, it's success. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. I'm an achiever. I try to stuff success down this thing ever since I was a kid. But maybe for you, it's not success. Maybe it's a relationship, a marriage, some kids, a job, partying, drugs, sex, achievement. I don't know. The list goes on and on and on. But the truth is we keep striving for these things. We keep searching for these things in the darkness, in a dark room. We're like, maybe if I go over here, I'll find it. And then maybe that'll make me feel good. But then what happens? It never does. It might feel good in the moment, but those things that we try to fill this emptiness, this void in our hearts never lasts. And as a result, the next day we go to something else. Oh, that relationship didn't fill me, but I'm very confident that this one will. That job wasn't really what I thought I needed. I think it's this other job or this. I need to move to this place. I need to experience this thing. I need to get high one more time. And then maybe I will feel like I'm fulfilled. This is the darkness that we experience. See, the darkness isn't just a physical reality we were born into and that we experience day to day. No. It is a spiritual reality that we experience, that we feel. And we feel the weight of the darkness day in and day out. What is my purpose? Do I even have a purpose? Does God care enough to give me a purpose? Why do I feel so empty? Why can't something help me feel fulfilled? Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And we are walking around in the darkness. And my hope for us today, my burden for this message, if you are in the darkness right now and you are struggling with something, you need to know that God wants to speak light into your darkness. God wants to speak light into your darkness, into that specific thing that you are dealing with, your lack of purpose, your need to fulfill yourself, or any other darkness that it may be. God wants to speak light into your darkness. He wants to meet you right in the middle of where you are at and give you hope, and give you hope of a better future and a life that is waiting for you on the other side of darkness. And I believe that lives will be changed today based on what the scriptures reveal to us. And so today, in order for us to really move in a direction of figuring out what God does with the darkness, we're going to actually look back in the book of Genesis. See, what's so beautiful about the God that we get to encounter is that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that the same God of Genesis is the same God who reveals himself to us in the book of Revelation and throughout all of the New Testament and Old Testament. And that is the same God we get to experience in this place today, and the same God we can have a relationship with. And so if we want to know what God is up to, we can take a look at what God has been doing since the beginning. And so we're going to look at Genesis 1. If you have a Bible or the Bible app, you want to follow along and be extra Christian today, you should. I don't. So for the rest of us, it's going to be up here, okay? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Say without form. Say void. This is a participation sport, y'all. Let's go. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. He made everything, but the state of everything was a little peculiar. The state of the world as we know it looks very different. You see, it was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Without form, another way of saying this is what was created kind of lacked direction. It lacked structure. You know what, you want to know a synonym for this is? Purpose. The world lacked purpose. And then it was void. Another word for this is empty. The world in the beginning, after God made it, it was without form. It lacked purpose. It was void. It was empty. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And I think there's something so beautiful that we can take from this. And I don't want you to miss this today. You see, if something is without form, it is lacking something. It lacks purpose. If something is void or empty, it lacks something. It is lacking content, things to fill it. If something is filled with darkness, then it's lacking something. It's lacking light. And there's something else that the world is lacking at this point. It's lacking life. Human life. The epitome of God's creation, the masterpiece of everything he's ever done, the pinnacle of creation, was not present. Why? Because the world lacked purpose. Because the world lacked content, fulfillment. Because darkness was over the face of the deep, and therefore there was no light, and therefore life could not thrive in the darkness. God knew this. God had a plan a plan to bring forth into fruition his greatest creation, but he knew that the state of the world was not habitable, was not conducive to support life, not just to support it or for us to survive in it, but to thrive in it. Life cannot thrive in the darkness. And thankfully, God was not done. The scripture goes on and says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And if you read this, that might sound weird. The Spirit of God is hovering. I mean, I had very hovering parents. It's a very different kind of hovering. I love you, parents. The Spirit of God was hovering. Now, have you ever been in a moment or a situation where you kind of were hovering? Not over a kid, not over a situation, but maybe hovering, waiting in eager expectation because you believed something amazing was going to happen. You were hovering in anticipation for what was about to happen next. Any sports fans in here? Hands up. 20 of you, okay. This might go over some of your heads. How about basketball fans? Even less. Great. Okay. This is perfect. So like a month ago-ish, something amazing happened in the basketball world. Right? And so what happened, it was game 7, and it was Toronto, and they were playing Philly. And there were 4.2 seconds on the clock. And you have Kawhi Leonard on your team. Kawhi is a monster. He's a beast. If you don't agree with me, find me later. We'll fight. So Kawhi's amazing. And what happens in this moment, as I'm watching, we're like, okay, what's about to happen? I believe that something could happen that is amazing. We have Kawhi. I know there's not much time. The game is tied, and it's game 7, but everything is on the line right here. We could end it. We could make it to the next round of playoffs. This is huge. You got to get the ball to Kawhi. So you're kind of hovering, waiting for something amazing to happen. And then something amazing happens.
Got to be aware of the inbounder here if you're Philly.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Like, are you kidding me? Listen, if you don't get basketball, if you don't care for sports, I will pray for you after this. Come find me. But this is amazing. If you ever needed a picture of what the Spirit of God hovering over the deep was, this is it. This picture is it. It's what happens after Kawhi shoots. See, right, you are in the last final seconds and everything is on the line. And you're like, but we have Kawhi and Kawhi can do some really amazing big things. And Kawhi gets the ball and he pulls up for a three and he's off balance. And so you're kind of just hovering over the seat. You're like, what's gonna happen? And you finally breathe and then he shoots it. And then everybody's just hovering because the ball literally bounces four times, which is four times too many, right? And so they're hovering, literally 10 people are hovering right now. Except her, she has a phone out. But at least she's watching, so that's good. And everybody's just hovering because they believe something amazing is about to happen because they have hope that something beautiful is about to be breathed into existence. And what happens next after the Spirit of God is hovering is he changes the game. He changes everything with four words. He says, let there be light. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated light from the darkness. You see, in an instant, God knew after he made the earth and the heavens, and he saw the disarray and the chaos and the confusion, and he saw the purposelessness, and he saw how empty it was, and he saw the darkness. He says, this isn't good. This is not good for my creation to thrive in. They might survive, but this is not habitable for them to experience life the way that I want them to, and so this has to change. And so he says, let there be light. And in an instant, God starts creating something beautiful. He says, let there be light over this purposelessness. And he starts to breathe direction and form and purpose into creation. He's hovering over the emptiness and he says, this isn't good. And so he says, let there be light. And what happens is God starts this creative process for the rest of humanity. And he starts filling the earth with things that we get to experience today. The mountains, the stars, the ocean, all the beauty that surrounds us, the animals and us. And God says, let there be light. And light burst forth into creation and covers the darkness. And he says, this I can work with. This is good for my creation to thrive in. And my heart for this scripture is I don't want you just to see this portion of scripture and think, man, this is a beautiful story of creation. This is a beautiful story that we get to read about. No, this is a story you get to engage with. You see, the Genesis story isn't just a story of what God did. It's a story of what God does. Immediately from the beginning of the Bible, God says, you want to know what I can do in your life? Do you want to know what the power that I have to change everything? You see, in the beginning, things weren't the way it was supposed to be. Darkness covered the face of the world, but guess what? I said, let there be light, and I started everything down a path towards new creation. I did that to the earth. What makes you think I can't do that to you? And this is my heart for this message. You see, I believe that this truth has the power to change your life. When you start to view your life through the lens that there's so much more, that God is just getting started, it'll revolutionize your faith. It'll revolutionize the way you see yourself and the way you see God and the way that you see others. You see, my heart for some people in this room today is that there's so much more than the darkness you're experiencing. I think that there are some people in this room who are just surviving, who are just getting by. Now listen, have you ever tried to find something very specific in a dark room? Cool. I have. It actually happened literally just this past week. I woke up and I needed this right here, chapstick. My house is a little dry. I don't have a ceiling fan. And so it just gets stagnant and gross and I'm constantly in a state of dehydration. And so my lips were chapped and I needed chapstick. And if you're like any sane human being, you have like 6 different chapsticks, right? You have one in your room, one in your backpack, one in your car, one at work, one in your workout bag. Like, this is just what you do. You have them everywhere because one, you lose them, and 2, you always need it. And so I woke up in the middle of the night like in that groggy state, like I really need chapstick. And of course it's not right by my bed, it's on the dresser. And my room got pitch black and for some reason I wasn't thinking clearly. I was like, I can get out of bed and find this. And so I just like mosey out of bed and immediately trip because like I said before, I'm a nester. I nest. It's just, it's how I live my life, judge me. So on the floor at any given time, you will find dirty clothes and clean clothes somewhat mixed together. It's fine. I know what's dirty and clean, so just ask me if you ever have a question. My workout bag, old workout clothes, also mixed with new workout clothes because that's the way it is. Some proteins on the ground, my shaker, and my suitcase that is still unpacked from Passion Camp from 3 weeks ago. So this is just the constant state of my life. It is chaos, it is confusion, it doesn't make sense. It makes sense to me. And so I get up and I'm immediately tripping over clothes. And then I hit my foot on the suitcase and I'm like, this is great. And so I get over to my dresser. I'm like, okay, mama, I've made it. And so you know, you do one of these things when it's dark and you're just like, okay, where? No, it's not. So in the process of looking for my chapstick, I knocked over some old receipts, like literally probably from 6 months ago at the minimum. I keep them because I think they're important. I have a credit card statement, it's fine. So I knocked those over. I successfully hit my lamp against the wall, which makes a really loud noise, which startles me, and therefore I knock over a full cup of water. Narrowly miss my Xbox, which is also in my room. And so, long story short, I didn't find the chapstick, and I went to bed very unhappy with chapped lips. If you have ever looked for something specific in the darkness, you know it is nearly impossible. It is nearly impossible to find something specific in the darkness, to find direction, to find that one thing that you thought you needed. And this is what it's like to live in the darkness. You are looking for that one thing, that sense of purpose, that thing that you think is going to fill the void in your heart. But ultimately, you're not going to find it. You're going to trip over things. You're going to trip over your past. You're going to trip over your regret or that failed relationship or that one thing you thought would fulfill and then didn't. And you're going to keep trying to stumble your way through looking for something. And you might be able to grab onto some things, but you're going to miss out on really what you're looking for, what your soul is craving. And I think there are people in this room today that are stumbling through the darkness, that are just surviving, that are just trying to get by. I think there are people in this room today that are having this thought of, if I can just make it through today, if I can just make it through this season, if I can just get this job or get this relationship, then maybe something will make sense. Then maybe my life will get better. If I can just get through this, if I can just survive this, then maybe everything will get better for me. And that is not God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is not to just survive. God's plan for your life is to thrive. God doesn't want you to sit back and experience the darkness and just live in that. No, no, no. He says he has something way better for you. Life that can only be experienced through a relationship with him. And so if you are in this room today and you feel like you are just surviving or like you are stumbling through a dark room, let me tell you today that there is a hope that says there is a life waiting for you on the other side of the cross. There's hope. There's hope. You see, in the New Testament, Jesus explains to a crowd of people that there's hope. There's hope. And that same hope that he delivered to them is available to us. You see, in John 8:12, he says this. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, Jesus in this moment was making an allusion, making a reference back to something the Jewish people already knew. See, the Jewish people in that culture knew the Old Testament, right? They knew the first several books of the Old Testament. They knew the book of Genesis. They knew how the creation happened. And so he's saying, hey, remember that story, the story that we all just read about? Remember that thing that you learned? Remember how God in the beginning made the heavens and the earth? And the earth was without form and it was void and darkness was over the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. And then God, with four words, changed everything, said, let there be light. You remember that story that we all know? The story that we just read? Well, guess what? That same picture of creation, the same picture of hope, of what God does with the darkness, of what God does with purposelessness, what God does with feeling empty, that same thing is available to you today. You see, when God spoke light into the world, it changed everything. And the same way that God spoke light into the world then, I am coming as the light of the world now. The same thing that he did then is happening now, and it all happens when you do what? When you follow Jesus. You see, Jesus is saying, hey, I am the way, the truth, the life. If you want to get out of your darkness, if you want to experience purpose, if you want to feel fulfillment that can't come from anything else of this world, it all starts with the relationship with me. I am the light of the world who came into your world so you could have light, which leads to life. That is the hope that we cling to. That is the hope that we believe, and that is why we gather on a Sunday morning. You see, my bottom line for today, the thing I want you to desperately, desperately walk away with is light leads to life. Light leads to life. The beautiful creation story that we read in Genesis, that could be your story today. The same way that God hovered over the purposelessness and the emptiness and said, let there be light, and started to bring purpose and direction and structure. The same way that he hovered over that void and that emptiness and said, hey, listen, let there be light. You're gonna discover real fulfillment. When he hovered over the darkness and he said, let there be light, and he started this beautiful, beautiful process for creation of recreating things and creating things the right way for us to thrive in. He says, yes, that's what I wanna do in your life. You're stumbling around in the darkness. I want to come into your darkness. I want to say, let there be light, so you can start to see that this life is actually beautiful, that there's more for you on the other side of your darkness. And then what's so cool is God starts his creative process in you in that moment. He says, let there be light. He starts to create in you something new, something beautiful, something real. He starts you down a path of discovering him, and from that, discovering purpose, discovering fulfillment, and direction for your life, and joy, and happiness. He wants to do that in your life. I was told I needed a story. I have a lot of stories from working with student ministry. I love what I do, because I get to sit down with students, with people, and I get to engage with them in their darkness and help lead them towards Jesus. That's what I do for a job. But not every story is about a student when it comes to student ministry. This is Michael Kress. He's sitting right over there. I'm gonna do my best to not get emotional, but every time I've ran through this, I've cried. I won't Kim K. Ugly cry, it's okay. So this is Michael. Michael is my co-leader for the now sophomore boys who think that they're men. So Michael, in 2016, got involved with our student ministry, and boom, our middle school stuff. And so he entered in, but he was in a very different stage of life. He was very different than what you'd expect from most small group leaders. See, Michael didn't have a relationship with Jesus, and we knew this going into it. And so we paired him with a really strong believer, but we really kind of were relying on Michael to be like more of like a corraler of kids, because middle schoolers are crazy and we needed that. And he has this energy about him, we're like, man, this is gonna be great. And so he started coming around and he started leading these kids through conversations, through small group questions about Jesus, which is so crazy because he had questions himself that he was battling with. But he led these kids anyway. And he kept coming around and coming around. And after a year, I had the opportunity to step into that small group and I became Michael's co-leader. And then in eighth grade, we take our eighth graders to high school retreat. We kind of bridge that gap going into high school. And so Michael and some of our guys got to go. And the theme for that retreat was build. And that first night, I delivered a message and I asked a question to everybody. And I said, what are you building your life on? What is the foundation of your life? Because at the end of the day, you are building something. And when life comes, when the storms hit, when the darkness surrounds you, is your foundation going to be big enough or strong enough to hold the weight of everything you're doing? Because the only foundation that can ever last is Jesus. And I delivered this message, and we went to small groups, and something happened in Michael's heart that day. Michael, his eternity shifted. Michael heard a truth that he has heard before, the gospel. But for the first time ever, he didn't just see a cross, he saw the cross that was meant for him. And on the other side of that cross was life. And so in that moment, Michael stepped into this space where he said, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm living in my darkness. I'm living in sin. God, I need you. I believe that the only way out of this is through a relationship with you. So God, would you meet me here? And would you breathe life and light into my existence? And in an instant, God, who had been hovering over Michael's life, says, I've been waiting for this moment. And in an instant, God said, let there be light. And Michael started down this journey, this path of discovering purpose, of discovering fulfillment, of discovering who God made him to be and who God is. Fast forward to this pastor tree and then to camp. God is working insanely in Michael's life. Michael is my favorite D1 golfer. He hates that. But Michael is one of the most influential people that we've ever had in our student ministry. He has radically changed the lives of these students right over here. And he has radically changed my life. And it all started because he came to a place where he realized he was living in his darkness and he needed God. And since then, God has been putting him down this journey of discovering purpose. Get this, Michael, 3 years ago, did not have a relationship with Christ, was living in darkness. This past retreat decided that he's starting to sense purpose in his life and real fulfillment. And he made the decision. He said, listen, I think I'm just starting to discover this purpose. I think God is calling me into full-time ministry to meet with students and to lead them towards Jesus. 3 years ago, that would have been the farthest thing from his mind, but that is the current reality that he lives in because God is showing him that this is the most beautiful thing. And that on the other side of his darkness is life and light. And way more in store. This is our small group of guys. They're great, I love them. And Michael is changing their lives because he asked God to meet him in his darkness. That's it. This is my heart for you today. It's to see what has happened in Michael's life. See, I firmly believe that in Jesus, the best is yet to come for you. You might have been following Jesus for a while and you're like, I feel like things are actually okay. Well, guess what? It gets better. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the deeper you go with him, the more you serve, the more you forgive people, the more you love, it just gets better. Or if you're stuck in the darkness right now, man, there's so much more waiting for you once you ask God to meet you where you're at and to turn on the lights. See, God has been hovering over your life, your entire life. God knows where you're at. God knows the brokenness you're experiencing. God knows when you feel like you lack purpose. He knows when you feel empty. He loves you, and it breaks his heart. And God has been hovering over you your entire life, waiting for you to turn towards him to say, God, I need you. Will you turn on the lights in my life? And from that instant, God starts his creative process in you. See, when I was a kid, I made like the biggest cardinal mistake ever. I fell asleep in the basement. I mean, listen, we all know, like when people say monsters live under the bed, that's not true. No, they live in the basement. They hide under your bed, they live in the basement. I was playing video games and I was probably Call of Duty or something, because that's just the way I am. And I fell asleep, it was like 2 a.m, right? I don't know how old I was, 5, 12, who cares? And so I fell asleep and I woke up in the middle of the night and I immediately thought to myself, I was like, oh no, it's really dark. I literally couldn't see a hand in front of my face. There were no night lights, which I desperately need. There was no light coming in through that small window. There was nothing. It was pitch black. And I became paralyzed with fear. And this feeling of feeling alone. And I did the only thing that I felt like my soul could do. I cried out for my father. I said, Dad, Dad, I'm in the basement. Dad, it's dark. I can't see. Dad, will you meet me down here? Dad, come turn on the lights. My dad came sprinting down the stairs and he turns on the light. He says, Bud, I know you've been down here your entire life. I know you've been down here the entire night. I've just been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to yell for me. It's okay, you're safe. I'm here. And he turns on the lights and he carried me upstairs. Your heavenly Father is waiting for you to ask him to turn on the lights. God knows you're struggling. God knows that you're experiencing darkness and pain and hurt and a feeling that you don't have purpose and a feeling that you're empty and you're alone and you're abandoned. And he knows that it's what you are experiencing. He's just hovering over you saying, just say the words. Say the words and I'll meet you here. Say the words and I will turn on the lights. And all it takes is you crying out to God and asking him, God, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe you're God and I believe that you died on the cross for my sin so I could experience life through the light that you offer me. And once you say that, everything changes. And so I'm gonna do something real quick as we end. I'll end on this. We usually end student ministry with like posing a question before they go talk to small groups. I highly doubt you're gonna go to Starbucks and talk about this with four other people. I doubt it. So I'm gonna give you some questions to think about right now. The first question is, am I ready to let Jesus be the light of my world? See, I believe that Jesus is the light of the world, but this all comes down to a personal decision. Are you ready for God to meet you where you're at in your darkness and to turn on the lights? Here in a minute, I'm going to lead you through a prayer where you can actually do that. You can ask God to turn on the lights for you. You can ask God to have a relationship with him. And the prayer isn't what saves you. It's this belief in your heart. And I will lead you through that here in a minute. And I promise you, the best is yet to come. It is. Because what will happen is God will meet you in your emptiness and start giving you fulfillment. He'll meet you in your purposelessness and start to give you purpose and direction. He'll meet you in your darkness and breathe life and light. And it might be blinding at first. And once your eyes acclimate, you start to see shapes and colors and a beautiful future that he has for you. So are you ready to let Jesus be the light of your world? There's another group of people in here who have already said yes to that. And I don't want to leave you hanging. So my question for you is, are you ready to chase the light? Are you ready to chase the light? You see, what happens is when you invite God into your life and he says, let there be light, we're like, great, I've done it. Now what? And life gets busy and we put our faith on the back burner. And I believe that God has so much more in store for you and for your life. But it all starts from pursuing him and learning about him and serving people and forgiving people better and becoming like Jesus. See, when you chase the light, when you chase the person of Jesus, you become more like Jesus. When you chase the light, you become more like the light. And the beautiful part of our faith is that we aren't called to keep this light to ourselves. We are called to be the light of the world. Matthew 5:14, what this church is named after. You are the light of the world. And so once you have the light, you become transformed by the light. And then you chase the light. And the more you become more like Jesus, then you become the light to other people. Because the reality is other people are living in the darkness as well. So are you ready to chase the light? Light leads to life. And God's plan for you isn't to just survive, it's to thrive. And I really, really do believe with my entire being that your best is yet to come. And so I'm gonna pray, and then John's gonna come back up and dismiss us. And I'm gonna pray, and if you are ready to say yes to Jesus, if you are ready to ask him into your heart to be the light of your world, then I'm gonna lead you through a prayer, and you don't have to say this out loud, you'll just repeat it to yourself. But I'm gonna pray for us all first, and I'm gonna end with that. And so would you guys pray with me? God, thank you for chasing after us. Thank you for this truth. That in spite of the darkness we feel, in spite of the darkness we experience, the darkness in this world, this broken condition of our lives, spiritually and physically, God, that you stepped into that darkness and pursued us. God, help us to become people who chase after you and become the light to others. And if you wanna say yes to a relationship with Jesus, if you wanna ask him into your life right now to be the light so you can experience life, you're gonna repeat this after me in your heart. God, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for choosing to die on a cross for my sins so that I can experience life. God, I pray that I could have a relationship with you. I pray that today would be the beginning of something beautiful. I pray that today you would speak, let there be light over my life, and you would begin to create in me something new, something beautiful, something whole, that you would redeem what is broken, that you would redeem my past, and that you would show me the direction for my life so that I can continue to know you better and point others towards you, God. God, we love you. We believe that the best is yet to come. I pray this all in your son's name.